Welcome to Jaguars Postgame. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, and Jaguars great Fred Taylor break down today's game. You'll also hear from head coach Gus Bradley, as well as Jaguars highlights. Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by Geico, Farrah & Farrah, Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by EverBank. Jaguars Postgame starts right now.
This is Jaguars Postgame. Final score from EverBank Field in Week 8. Dolphins 27, Jaguars 13. Jags fall to 1-7. Miami now 4-3. JP Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor is with us. And guys, it starts with turnovers. Two pick sixes. And the fumble set up another field goal for Miami. The defense played their tails off again, at least especially in the first half, Fred. But if you're throwing interceptions for touchdowns, that's not going to get it done.
No, Tony said on his broadcast, you know, you're spotting them points. You can't spot them points. I mean, the defense played great overall. I think our offense, we just have to play better. And we have to minimize the mistakes, the blocked field goal, the holding that forces a punt, the illegal shift. And then right after that, we came back with the pick six the other way, the play after. So guys got to focus and got to play better.
Yeah, it's not just the points you're directly giving Miami. It's the points you're not allowing yourself
exactly.
to score.
Yeah.
You had the catch to Cecil inside the five. It's going to set up a first and goal there, and penalty brings
the
that one back.
Shift.
Fred. I mean,
yeah.
there were just one after another, it seemed, in the first half. They came up with new and creative ways to shoot themselves on the foot.
Yeah, you know, overall, I just think the guys just have to focus. You know, we're already thin. We're a team that we can't lose the turnover battle. Last week was a game where we had some turnovers on downs, had a few other turnovers, the muff punt, the INT right there. But Telvin, we won the turnover battle. Although Blake didn't play great, we won the battle. Today, obviously, we lost the turnover battle, and the score speaks for itself.
Jaguars postgame, J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. Got to ask, I mean, what's with the field goal game? There was the block, then it's the third of the year for Scobie, then the miss, the one that was overturned after the missed field goal. But Scobie doesn't look like his old self, to be quite honest.
You know, he has to get those opportunities. They aren't necessarily – the opportunities aren't there. I mean, you have a block staring in your face, and then the guys are holding, you know, and then right there, the legal shift and stuff. So – you have to give yourself an opportunity. The guys up front, they have to focus and realize this isn't just the play. This is the biggest play that's going to cap that drive. And we have to just, you know, hone in and make it happen.
Yeah, not a lot of drops from the Jaguar wide receivers, but it seemed like a couple of key drops today, one by Allen Hurns, one by Allen Robinson. I mean, those are ones when you're struggling offensively, you've got to make the easy plays.
And I think that's, you know, the inexperience. The youth is showing up a lot right there. But what I do like, though, is that they're still scrapping. You know, the young guys, they can easily tank it. But after Hurns dropped that one shallow cross, he came back and caught a 20-yarder. And even so, I think we're at 100% with Bortles, that after an interception, the very next play, the offensive staff, they're calling a pass. So they're trying to keep these guys in the game and, you know, just keep their confidence up.
Well, let's go outside of the Jaguars locker room here at EverBank Field. Jeff Lagerman has the first word with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right. Thank you, JP. Gus, got to be disappointing that early on in that game, your offense had some opportunities, just couldn't convert some of those opportunities into points.
Without a doubt. That's what I felt like. I know we came in at halftime and felt, even though, you know, that we were behind in the score, boy, we just didn't capture those opportunities. And so many of them, blocked field goal, touchdown in the end zone. Just those things right there where when you are consistently good, you do those little things right.
But at the same token, you got to be proud of your defense. So many guys missing from the lineup today, but the guys that played in their place did a great job. Defense continues to be strong.
Yeah, I thought it was a good performance. You know, I know they're going to be disappointed with the yards rushing they had, but overall the number of points and really the whole team. I mean, you can't get 76 yards rushing like we did, and to play the defense we did and some special teams if you're not playing with high effort. But it's the little things, a play here, a play there, that we have to overcome, or when we get the opportunity to make it, we got to make it. And that's going to be the difference from us, you know, taking the next step.
Your young quarterback struggled today. Two pick sixes, a fumble that was converted into a field goal, 17 points. You expect him to bounce back?
Well, yeah, you know what, and his demeanor was good on the sideline, but, you know, it stings. The truth of the matter is it hurts, and I know it hurts him as well. And, you know, but you've got to learn from these things. And, you know, and Blake and I have talked about that. There's going to be some tough times, but as long as we learn from it and grow, but we've got to learn and we've got to grow. You know, that's the challenge for Blake and our offense. And, you know, we'll find the truth out when we watch film. But just coming off the field, you know, we got to continue to get better in that area.
The only injury that I saw happen in the game, Luke Jokel left the game with appeared to be a head injury. Any word on him?
No, they came and told me that he was out. So, but that's the only injury I've heard of thus far as well.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Okay, thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with head coach Gus Bradley in the Jaguars locker room. Quickly, Fred, it's something that you touched on before, that they let Bortles throw after the interceptions. You just got to keep winging it out there, right?
Yeah, I mean, they realize they have a young quarterback. He's going to make mistakes. He's going to go through his growing pains. It's a process. Much like this preseason, they said it was a process when they were going to put him out there. Now he's out there. You know, you have your guy. You have your guy of the future. You got to just stick with him and trust him. Trust that he's going to come back and bounce back.
Jaguars postgame rolls along. Final score from Everbank Field, 27-13. Dolphins over the Jags. When we come back, Jeff Lagerman inside the Jaguars locker room. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey as well. After these words on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues, 27-13. Dolphins over the Jaguars in Week 8. At GEICO, you have a choice of ways you can save on car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Go online to geico.com or stop by the GEICO office nearest you. Cecil Shorts III had 3 catches, 41 yards, and he's with Jeff Lagerman in the Jaguars locker room now. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Cecil, you and I were just looking at some of my notes here from the game. 4 opportunities there in the first half at scoring, and you guys weren't able to come away with any points. That's got to be the most disappointing part of the game.
Absolutely. Defense played outstanding once again. And in that first half, we had, like we talked about, 4 opportunities in there. Territory to at least put 3 points up at least, and I think we came away one time with a field goal, and it's frustrating. We got to do a better job of finding a way to score, and you know I got to do a better job on my part to make plays to score. We got to figure out a way.
Young quarterback struggled today. 2 pick sixes, a fumble that led to a field goal. As a veteran guy, I mean, what do you say to a young quarterback?
You know, just keep your head up. We all believe in you. You're our quarterback, so keep your head up and let's keep fighting. Let's go on to the next game.
Your defense, boy, 3 weeks in a row now that they've just done an exceptional job. And with the number of injuries that they had on that side of the ball to deal with today to still play well, pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, losing Puz, losing Allen Ball, not having Branch. I mean, guys, just Coach Gus talks about all the time, next man up mentality, and them guys stepped up and played very, very well today, especially in the first half. And they gave us, I mean, they were getting sacks and you know, pushing them back in their territory. We had great field position the first half, and, you know, we couldn't ask for defense to do a better job.
All right, Cecil, thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff Lagerman with Cecil Shorts III in the Jaguars locker room. You know, the passing game was just an issue today. Your comments about Cecil there. Obviously, disappointing effort on offense. You could feel it in his voice there. But what are your thoughts overall today about Cecil and the receivers?
No, I thought, this is a tough one because, you know, regardless of the fact, we don't have any points to show for anything.
Right.
You know, we didn't move the ball well. Well, we ran the ball great. You know, so hats off to the offensive line. But, you know, because we got behind, we weren't able to call those same plays. So in the second half, we ended up passing the ball a little bit more than I think we wanted to. And that's when the pick sixes occurred and all these other things. So not a good day for the offense at all.
Back to the Jaguars locker room. We'll talk defense now. Red Bryant with Jeff Lagerman. Jeff?
All right, thank you, JP. Red, got to be tough. You know, defense to play so well, and then all of a sudden you're looking up at the scoreboard and the points are up there, but you guys aren't giving it up.
Yeah, it's tough. I feel bad for I really feel bad for Blake because he's young and he's finding out that teams are starting to lock in on him a little bit more, and it's just a tough situation, and you don't want to be get in a situation where you're pointing fingers. You have to give Miami a lot of credit. They figured that they knew how to disguise whatever it was that they were doing, and they made plays, and they put us in the hole. And on defense, I'm just proud of the guys, how we responding. We still got to get some turnovers and try to get the offense more opportunities. And but it was tough. It's always tough, you know, when you feel like you're playing winning football, but you're coming up short. And that's a sign of a young team that's not quite there yet. We got a lot of work yet to do.
What was the huddle like today? No Posluszny, no Alan Branch, no Andre Branch, but you guys were still able to play so well.
It was tough. You know, you can't replace Puz, A.B., Sebby Bitt, and Branch was coming into his own. He was making a lot of plays for this defense, and it really wasn't a drop-off between the first and the second. That's what you want. So it was different not to have those guys out there. So you have to commend JT for stepping up for us. Harris stepped up. Grassi stepped up. D-Max stepped up in their absence. Ryan stepped up. Clem did a great job, as usual. But it's tough, you know, going forward. We're going to miss those guys. But that's just a credit to the young guys just understanding their opportunity. They prepared for it, and they did extremely well today.
Last game until November 30th here at home. It's amazing, over a month.
Yeah, that is amazing. We still got a lot of work. It's only going to get harder. Next two road games, one being in Cincy, and then we got to leave the country to go to London to play a red hot Cowboy team. And so we gotta watch the tape tomorrow and just understand that the only way we can get out of this hole is the work. And that need to be the motto, work, you know. And I believe the guys will respond, and we'll do a lot better our next outing.
All right, thank you, Red.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Jeff Lagerman with Red Bryant in the Jaguars locker room. Always good to hear the comments from Red on the front line. You know, it's a defense that lost a lot of pieces coming into today, but still made things happen, certainly in the first half today. Let's go ahead and pick an MVP of this game. It's a tough choice today, Fred. I mean, not a lot to choose from offensively, but where do you go here today?
I got to go with 16 again. I thought he ran the ball well. He was downhill, ran with vision, decisive cuts. And also the first back since 2011, MJD, back-to-back 100. So I got to go.
It's amazing to think about, isn't it?
Denard X.
It's amazing to think about that's the last time that's happened.
Yeah.
It's nice to see, though.
It is.
It's nice to see.
Very
encouraging. That is one thing that we wondered, would he be able to follow up a 22-carry performance? He handled it 18 times and caught it out of the backfield once, so he handled the workload again. And did a pretty good job, explosive plays as well. I'm going to give a nod to Ryan Davis. Fred's vote's going to trump mine, but two sacks, you know, and he was asked to do more in the absence of Andre Branch as well, so I want to give him a mention. Somebody on the defense needs to be recognized today.
Well, yeah, I'm going to go offense. I'm going with Fred on this one.
I had a feeling you would.
18 carries, 108 yards, but honorable mention for Ryan Davis today on defense, the two-sack day. Bueller Swiss Watch Company is proud to be the official watch of the Jaguars. Bueller Swiss Watch is available at J. Roberts Jewelers in Jacksonville and Park Jewelers in Lake Mary. When we return on Jaguars postgame, the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions of the game for Fred Taylor. A little later, the Bud Light play of the game as well. Final score 27-13, Dolphins over the Jags in Week 8. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame continues. Final score, Dolphins 27, Jaguars 13. The Jags are now 1-7. Miami improves to 4-3. Let's get into the highlights from today's game, including the Bud Light play of the game. Well, the Jaguars on the opening drive had a chance for a 48-yard field goal, but earlier in that drive they had missed a deep ball to Allen Robinson in the back of the end zone, incomplete. Had to settle for a 48-yard field goal try. Miami blocks it.
Jaguars trying to strike first here in the early going. It's blocked. Kicked a little low and blocked. And now Miami's going to try and run it back. They're up the left sideline. Still on his feet. He's going to get marked out of bounds. He tried to stay in bounds, but a kick was blocked. Third one of the year blocked that Josh Scobie has attempted. Run all the way back to the 43-yard line by the Miami Dolphins.
Fortunately, the Jaguars defense was up to it. Forced a couple of three and outs early in the game. Well, Bortles had the ball. It was the third Jaguars drive. There was another field goal try with a holding call. They had to punt instead on the second Jaguars drive. Third Jags drive. Bortles intercepted. They had converted on a fourth down. Delmas goes 81 yards to the house.
Play fake. Bortles rolling left. Fires it out. It is going to be picked off. That was intercepted, and the Dolphins are going to run this one back. This is going to go all the way back, folks. This is going to be, hang on. There are flags down the field. It would be a pick six, but there's a bunch of flags down the field. This could work in the Jaguars' favor.
That's in the territory of illegal contact down the field, Frank.
Let's see what that's about. It's at the 20-yard line. There is a flag down. It's a pick six if it doesn't, if it goes against the Jaguars. I don't think so, though. This could be good news.
There's no foul on the play. Ooh. Until the flag was thrown inadvertently instead of the beanbag to mark the spotted interception. The result of the play is a touchdown.
That's fitting for how this game went. The inadvertent flag, no call, touchdown, 7-0 at that point. Jags got on the board with a 30-yard Scobie field goal on the ensuing drive. There was a play where Hearns and Shorts both came off the field together, a fourth down conversion. It was a missed field goal, the penalty, set up fourth and one. The Jags got the first down, settled for that 30-yard field goal, 7-3 at that point. A little later, Bortles on offense again. We got a pass interference. Shorts drew the penalty. Two plays after that, Blake Bortles on a long run deep into Miami territory, fumbles
Robinson
the ball.
Robinson remains the running back. Play fake. They pick up a blitz, so Bortles is going to run it to the 35, to the 30. Oh, he fumbled. The ball is out. Blake fumbled it. Let's see who's got it. They're piling up inside the 25-yard line. He had the first down and more, but the ball was a little bit loose out there. Let's see who recovered.
And it was Miami that recovered and set up a Sturgis 43-yard field goal. 10-3, Miami with the halftime lead. Early second half, four plays and out for Miami on their first drive. And then the first play for Blake Bortles in the second half, Grimes intercepts it, takes it in for a touchdown.
Pick six for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Brent Grimes is going to pick it off and run it back for a touchdown for Miami. He was trying to get it to Cecil Shorts. Back shoulder throw, but Grimes read it the whole way.
Fred, you just said it. Heartbreaking play there.
Most definitely a heartbreaking play.
You begin the second half with a little hope. You're right there in the game. That one broke the back of the Jaguars. It was 17-3. Scobie hit a 40-yard field goal, 17-6. A little later, a seven-play, 95-yard drive for Miami. The Jags defense had done great work in the first half. This is just a long, sustained drive. Seven plays, 95 yards. Tannehill to Matthews from 3 yards away.
Play fake. Tannehill looks to the left, fires it out. That's going to be a touchdown. He thought it to Rashard Matthews, who lined up as a slot, ran a little out. He drilled him. It's a touchdown for Miami.
24-6 for the extra point. Jaguars defense, though, after the Jags had gone three and out offensively, well, they're backed up again. And JT Thomas, new middle linebacker, makes a play in the end zone.
Play fake. Fires to the back of the end zone. That's batted in the air, and it's going to be picked off. JT Thomas picked it off in the end zone, and that's going to be a touchback. What a huge mistake by Tannehill, and a great play by JT Thomas to bring down the tipped ball. Good stop for the Jaguar defense.
Jags offense couldn't do anything with it. They had to punt it away. Sturgis hit a 29-yard field goal, 27-6. Jaguars trying to claw back in the game. Blake Bortles on a penalty play on the defense, hits Allen Robinson for a 48-yard touchdown.
Free play now for Bortles as they jumped off sides. Allen Robinson's wide open. Allen Robinson's got it inside the 10. Touchdown Jacksonville. There's flags on the field, but I believe that's going to be against Miami. I think it's going to be a touchdown for the Jaguars.
That is the Bud Light play of the game for the Jaguars, brought to you by Bud Light, who reminds fans to stay in the game and drink responsibly. That was also the final scoring of the game, 27-13. Miami improves to 4-3. The Jags fall to 1-7. Those are the highlights from today. When we return, more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. The Everbank Stats Check coming up as well. Unhappy final in Week 8. Dolphins 27, Jaguars 13 on the Jaguars Radio Network.
This portion of Jaguars Postgame is brought to you by GEICO, Farrah & Farrah, and by Everbank. Jaguars Postgame continues right now.
Final score in Week 8, Dolphins 27, Jaguars 13. Miami now 4-3 in the year. Jags fall to 1-7. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey. Pride of the Jaguars running back Fred Taylor with us. Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. It's time for an Everbank final stats check, and we start out with the team stats. First downs, Jaguars 19-17, but they had a huge lead in the first half, about 11-0 at one point. The Jags defense playing very well. Third downs, Jags were 6 of 15. Dolphins 5 of 12 on third downs. Total yardage 377 to 326 in favor of the Jags. Rushing yards 176 on the ground today for the Jaguars. Another good day rushing, 148 for Miami. 201 passing for the Jags, 178 for Miami, and some of that skewed with a 48-yard touchdown late for the Jaguars. They would have had more rushing yards than passing yards today. Quick look at penalties today, 6 for 37 yards for the Jaguars, 7 for 52 yards for the Dolphins. But, boy, turnovers. Two pick sixes, the fumble lost. You lose the turnover battle, you lose the war. That's the way it works, Fred.
Yeah, you can't turn the ball over. You know, you're dealing with a young team. Team that hadn't been great at, you know, punching in for touchdowns, including the block punt, all the other penalties as well. Those are turnovers in their own right. So the guys, I think they just have to settle down and just focus in a little bit more and go back and try and play some solid football.
Individually, Blake Bortles, of course, the passing guy here with 18 to 34 for 221 and a touchdown. He had the two picks, 6 of 48 on the ground, lost the fumble after picking up a first down there. Denard Robinson back-to-back 100-yard games, now 18 carries with 108 with a long of 41. And Allen Robinson continues to be the guy most frequently targeted by Blake Bortles. 10 passes going his way today, 5 for 82 yards he was able to haul in, including a 48-yard touchdown. Allen Hurns with 3 for 49. Cecil Shorts caught 3 for 41. Defensively, Jonathan Cyprian credited with 9 solo stops for the Jaguar defense. And Ryan Davis, his two tackles both came in the backfield, two sacks of Ryan Tannehill.
Obviously the one that stands out there, Denard Robinson. Back-to-back games with over 100 yards, 18 carries, 108 today. But he's getting 5, 6, 7, yeah, 8 yards a carry here, and that's not just a fluke, it looks like.
No, it's not. You know, his vision is showing up. They're hitting the cutback lanes, good bursts, breaking through arm tackles. I think the one thing I would say, looking at the offense as a whole, you know, they hadn't played great, definitely back-to-back weeks. Going back to the very beginning of the season, running backs, we said Toby was the guy. Then Toby got injured. Then we started trying to figure out who's the running back. Same thing at receiver with the young receivers. But of late, the consistency between those guys at those positions, Denard, he stepped up back-to-back weeks. As you mentioned, Allen Robinson, you know, he's been showing up. We know who the quarterback is. The offensive line, we put a group of young guys together. So we all want it right now. The team, they want it right now. The organization does. But just looking forward to what can happen going forward in the future. I mean, you're building a team that's gaining experience. It's ugly, but they are gaining experience.
Their young left tackle, Luke Jokel, yet to play a full season at that position, leaves the game today. Did you notice much of a drop-off when Josh Wells came in today?
You know, I didn't notice a huge drop-off, you know, going against a guy, Olivier Vernon. I thought he would have done more. He's been terrorizing offenses throughout the year, and, you know, it wasn't much of a drop-off. So the offensive line, you got to think they did play okay today. It was some pressure, but – you know, I think the indecisiveness of five of Bortles was more, you know, to fault than what the guys did up front.
Targets today, you mentioned the receptions today. Robinson targeted 10 times, Shorts targeted 8 times, but 8 targets, 3 catches, won't get it done. Robinson with 10 targets, 5 catches, including his first drop of the year, by the way. Allen Robinson had not dropped a football until today. It's a rookie, and he's making great plays this year, but that just kind of tells you how that day went offensively. It kind of spread out some targets among those two guys. For some reason, one reason or another, they couldn't haul in catches today.
Yeah, you know what? That happens. You're going to have good games, bad games. You don't want the consistency in dropping balls to start taking over. The greatest players at that position played the game. You know, they drop balls in key situations. So, you know, it's a maturation deal, and they just got to keep on going after it.
We've talked about the workload for Denard. He handled it again. Could they get him more involved in the passing game, though? Didn't catch a ball last week. I had one reception for 10 yards today. Should they try to look for him more and set up a few screen passes to get him in a little bit more space, utilize that speed?
I think there are going to be some opportunities. I think what the staff will probably do is go back and look at some check down opportunities where off play action, which they've done so well. And I think they can do more play action based on how well they've run the ball in the past 2 weeks. So a little check down off the play action, And, you know, turn a 2-yard catch into a 10, 12-yard gain, that's just as big.
When we return on Jaguars postgame, a look around the National Football League in Week 8, more with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey coming up as well. The unhappy final, 27-13. Dolphins are now 4-3. Jags fall to 1-7. More after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues, 27-13 Dolphins over the Jaguars in Week 8. When it comes to flavor, go the whole nine yards. Go for Goldfish Crackers. They're tasty, fun treats that come in multiple varieties of deliciousness. So don't drop the ball. Grab the Goldfish. It's the official snack of game day, Fred.
Pretzel flavor.
That'll That's work. One of the varieties of deliciousness.
I love it.
Let's look at the scores around the National Football League in Week 8. The Vikings get a win over the Buccaneers, 19-13 in Tampa, an overtime fumble return. Vikings win in overtime. How about that?
Anthony Barr, the rookie, scooping it up.
Patriots, I think Tom Brady's okay at quarterback. He threw five touchdowns today, three of those to Gronkowski. 51-23 win over the Bears. What a day for the Patriots, Fred.
I think Tom is Tom. You know, when I went in there, they said, look, just do whatever Brady says and we'll be fine. So Tom is going to be Tom. I don't know what's wrong with the Bears, though.
Yeah, well, that's gone downhill quickly in Chicago.
Yeah, maybe they should wrap it up. Wrap it up.
Patriots are now 6-2. The Bills ran away from the Jets. Four touchdowns for Orton today, 43-23, and the Jets are now 1-7, and Rex is not long for the world in New York.
Percy Harvin did not make that immediate impact they were looking for.
Obviously not.
But when you look at a veteran team like the Jets, and then you look at what the Jaguars here are doing, I mean, what comes to mind? That's a veteran team who expected to play well in New York on a stage with a coach who's been this guy that's supposed to have been the man for some time. But here you have young guys. So we have some excuses, although they don't always carry over well with the fans because they want it now. But I can imagine what's going on in New York is, I guess, the point I'm trying to make.
In London today, the Lions scored 22 second-half points and beat the Falcons 22-21. A last-second field goal got it done for the Lions today at Wembley, and the Jags will be there in 2 weeks. Chiefs scored 34 unanswered points and won 34-7 over the Rams. Chiefs are 4-3. Other finals today, Texans beat the Titans 30-16, the 200th win for the Texans. And it was Mettenberger's debut for the Titans. Didn't go so well today. It went okay. 299 and two touchdowns for Mettenberger in a losing effort. Seahawks 13, Panthers 9. A late touchdown from Russell Wilson. Got that one done today. And the Bengals. Boy, Dalton had a sneak for a touchdown late. And they come from behind and beat the Ravens 27-24. And the Jags will be in Cincinnati next week. A few games active in the league, guys, as we look around the National Football League in Week 8. Eagles-Cardinals tied at 7 early in the second. Late first quarter, the Browns lead the Raiders 6-0 in Cleveland. And the Steelers lead the Colts 7-3 in Pittsburgh.
That was a big win for Cincinnati right before the Jags head up there. A couple weeks ago, they missed a chip shot field goal in overtime, have to settle for a tie, get shut out last week, and they're reeling. Baltimore's coming in red hot to be able to get that win against the Ravens. A big one for them with the Jags coming in next week.
So the Jags go into the Hornet's Nest next week in Cincinnati. That's a tough draw for this team, Fred.
Yeah, it is. But looking at everything, I mean, the game is right in front of you. It's another opportunity. So you want to try and bounce back from this sort of performance. I know the defense is anxious. You know, they just want to get out there and give somebody hell. So I'm looking forward to it.
Why not Andy Dalton? How about that? He could be next on the list.
Yes.
That sounds good to me. When we return, the Baptist Health Injury Report. More with Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey after the Jags fall to the Dolphins 27-13. We continue after this on Jaguars Radio. Jaguars postgame continues after the Dolphins beat the Jags 27-13 in Week 8. Dolphins now 4-3. Jags are now 1-7. A ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat, a chance to get on the field and watch the game live in the new field seating at Everbank Field. They're on the east sideline behind the visiting team benches, so you can heckle the other side, of course. And they feature all-inclusive food and beverage and free premium parking. The Jags are back at Everbank Field, for the New York Giants game November 30th. It's a little while away, but tickets are available, 633-2000, or visit jaguars.com/more, and a ticket to a Jags game is more than just a seat. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor, Jaguars postgame continues. This injury report is presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. The only real notable injury that we heard today was Luke Jokel. He left with a head injury, and Rick Belue said a concussion on the sideline. He was done for the day. The question will be for how long will he get through, you know, how long will it take for him to get through the protocol? And that's exactly what it is, Fred, these days. If you don't hit a certain mark in the protocol, you're not back in a head injury.
Yeah, that happens, and, you know, I think it'll be fine. I mean, it happens so early in the game. Hopefully it's not a severe one. We're going to need him. You know, I like to have all the pieces together, and then he needs the reps and those opportunities. So we just got to be hopeful that he returns.
Yeah, it's like you said, Josh Wells played pretty well today, but it leaves you a lot thinner, you know, when you start going deeper into your depth chart. On Alan Hearns had that foot spatted up a little bit, taped over the shoe today. We thought he was going to have to go back in, but looked like he came through okay.
Yeah, there was that one play where Hearns and Shorts both left the field at the same time. Everybody's holding their breath. Oh,
right.
Goodness. But they both came back into the ball game, which is great news. So good news really on the injury front, except for the Jokel injury today.
And speaking of that, Fred, you know, when it looked like Hearns and Shorts were going to have to leave the game at that point, we're sitting there saying, wow, this is really going to put a lot more Marquise Lee now. Young receivers come along at different rates. We're seeing Allen Robinson be able to handle a pretty heavy workload right now. What are you seeing from Marquise Lee, good or bad, that you think he can improve on it and start to get more of an impact here on this team?
Now, I haven't seen much. You know, they haven't thrown his way a whole lot, and the balls that have gone his way have been short, underneath crosses, shallows, those type. When he did catch those passes in a few previous games, you know, he would catch it and immediately try and get north. So I think the good piece of that is I've always been a fan of receivers that catch it and try and go north, and not those guys that, you know, hit the turf right now. So I think he has potential to be able to do a lot of run after the catch.
When we return on Jaguars postgame, the final segment, final thoughts from Fred Taylor and Mike Dempsey. We'll preview next week's matchup in Cincinnati as well. Jaguars fall to the Miami Dolphins 27-13. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Final segment of Jaguars postgame. Final score 27-13. Dolphins over the Jags in Week 8. J.P. Shadrick, Mike Dempsey, Fred Taylor. You know, we start on this ball game today, and it's the defense standing out again. What, three and outs in the first half, and then forced a field goal in the other drive, and kept this Jaguars team in the game really all day long, and with the exception of some big plays later in the game. This is another good day for this Jaguars defense, Fred. They're playing well.
Yeah, they're playing great. I think they're playing absolutely good ball. Take back great, but they're playing good ball. Four plays I noted, two pass plays, a 50-yarder to Wallace and a 38-yarder to Sims. You subtract those, and Tannehill only has 110 yards passing on the day. And then two runs, run to Miller, 30 yards, and a 30-yard to Tannehill right there late in the game. And you take 60 yards away from the rushing stat, and it's a very dominant game by the defense. Yet, though, stats are a little bit, you know, not really what it's all about, because you don't always factor in turnovers, and those are always key to winning. But as long as they continue to play at this level, continue to bring this energy and think, you know, the confidence is there and play with opportunistic mindset, I think they'll be fine.
You know, the margin for error on this team is not great, Fred. And that's we've talked about it, that you can't beat yourself, and that's what they're doing right now offensively. You have to put Blake Bortles out there. You have to let him take chances. You have to let him grow as a quarterback. Is there anything, though, that you would do differently philosophically with this offense right now, or do you just try to do what you're doing but just execute it better?
Yeah, I think it comes down to the execution. I think it's the decision-making from the quarterback. I like the scheme. I think they're playing to their strengths. They found their running back. I think Denard is doing some good things with the type of offense that we're running, inside-outside zones, slashing, running the play actions off that, getting Bortles on the edge. I think the quarterback, he doesn't have to force it. He should look shallow to deep or whatever his progressions are as he's taught, yet the outlets are going to always be there with the running backs off of those fakes. So maybe just look at that a little bit more going forward, and I think the overall the offense will be more efficient.
The Jaguars next week will be at Paul Brown Stadium in Cincinnati, Ohio, to face the Cincinnati Bengals, who are now 4-2-1 after their win today over the Baltimore Ravens. That Baltimore team's pretty good, too. The Bengals, you know, got a late touchdown today to get it done. Andy Dalton, a couple of rushing scores today and a couple of sneak situations. But overall, the Cincinnati team is close to being a lot better than their record is right now, 4-2-1. What do you make of this matchup next week, Fred?
Cincinnati has a pretty solid team, you know, the tie right there and then the Indy blowout. Mm-hmm. But Andrew Luck, he had an awesome day that day. I think the matchup is going to be solid. I like our defense to go up there and slow down their offense. We'll bang their run game. Giovanni, he's a good back, but I really believe we'll be able to contain him, which will affect their passing game. Again, our offense has to be ready for the challenge. Versus their defense, they have some guys that fly around, playmakers, Reggie Nelson, Gator, and had to throw that in there. And then Carlos Dunlap, Gator, you know. So I think our offense has to go up there and just really just hone in and focus and play their game and come away with the win.
They can get after the quarterback. We've seen that all year. We've seen that the last several years with them. And the bad news is, you know, they're winning games right now or in contention week in, week out, and they've done it without A.J. Green for most of that time. If he's back next week, that has a ripple effect on everybody else on the offense, a guy you've practically got to double no matter what team you are lining up against that guy. So it's going to open up some things for a guy like Mohamed Sanu, who's playing very well, and those tight ends as well.
Yeah, I think our DBs have to hurry back and get healthy. It's pretty good receivers over there.
Fred Taylor, well done as always. We'll talk to you next week before the Bengals and the Jags in Cincinnati. You'll be there, too.
We'll see you there.
I will definitely be there. You guys will be there.
Yeah. We'll be there.
This show's going on the road next week. We'll talk to you then.
All righty.
Well done, Fred. Well done, Mike. That's it for Jaguars postgame. For those on the flagship station in Jacksonville, stick around. The Scoreboard Show is next. 1-800-355-NFL1 to take your calls after the Jags fall to the Dolphins. Jags Senior VP of Communications is Dan Edwards. Jags Manager of Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tony Smith and Linda Fortunato, producers. For Fred Taylor, Jeff Loggeman, and Mike Dempsey, this is J.P. Shadrick saying good afternoon. Final score, Dolphins 27, Jaguars 13 on the Jaguars Radio Network.